Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. Jimmy, you wanted to talk about Biden, what you think he's up to right now. What's going on, Jim?
I don't think Biden's really up to anything, but I think there's a handful of people behind him that are up to some very nefarious actions.
Okay.
Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, he's going to talk about the soul, quote, the soul of America on a nationally televised speech. In that speech, according to the White House spokesperson, and according to what he has said already last week and this week in Pennsylvania this week, just two days ago, he is basically saying that American conservatives that support Donald Trump, the MAGA, ultra-MAGA people, are extremists.
Okay.
This is inciting violence and dividing the nation, when he promised to unify the nation.
Okay.
And I think he has an agenda. I think not him, because I don't think Biden really knows what the heck he's doing at this time in his life. But I think there is a specific agenda behind this.
Okay. Specifically, yeah, what kind of agenda, Jim?
So, you know, back in the 90s in the Clinton administration, you had an FBI, actually for many, many decades, you've had an FBI that is targeted specific individuals for their political power and clout and entrapped them. And in some cases, they've actually been involved in different events or had foreknowledge of an event and didn't take action. I'll give you an example. The FBI was warned. The Russians actually warned United States intelligence community of the Boston Marathon bombers' potential actions. They ignored it. But one of the In the 90s, under the Clinton administration, one of the most notorious, one of the most awful events that happened was the Waco event,
right,
where over 25 children, I think, died.
Right.
Over 70 people died in that assault. And, you know, this was over a ATF minor gun violation that they somewhat knew, and they'd actually met with him prior to the David Koresh, the leader of this particular group.
Yeah.
And after that, they used, you know, incredibly powerful forces to undermine, you know, to take out this place. And in the end, they ended up knocking over some lanterns, causing the place to burn on fire after, I don't know, however many days, you know, a couple of months. Because the HRT, the hostage rescue team, the FBI, was tired, was their excuse. And 70-some people died. And they were arguing that, Koresh was arguing, hey, this is not valid, this is not, you know, justified. And the government said, no, we're not, it doesn't matter what you're saying, we're going to crush you. And, you know, there was no need for it. They could have arrested him without going into the camp. There's a lot of things on that. The Weaver story, what happened with the Weaver family and the FBI actually assassinating his wife with a sniper and killing his son, causing the death of another ATF agent, and of course the FBI HRT shooter killing his wife at the door on a standoff over, once again, a fabricated guns rights violation that they were attempting to get him to infiltrate white supremacists in Idaho. So you've got those. Then you have what I think some extreme progressive ideologues are attempting to do, stimulating some sort of event on these levels that would create a backlash. And what I'm talking about is, because of the Waco event, you have the Oklahoma City bombing,
yeah,
which, you know, killers. There's absolutely, and I want to make it clear, there's no justification for killing these people, killing innocent people, for creating these, you know, on either side, to make, you know, to make their point, and it was just awful thing that happened. But the FBI would, and the Clinton administration, used these efforts to create a much stronger domestic terrorism threat profile where they can continue to operate. And after 9/11 and after the Patriot Act that was established soon afterwards, in this hurried race to stop these types of events, they actually undermined and undercut individual rights and freedoms and allowed the national security state, in particular the FBI, to have way too much power over individuals. And now they're to the point where you have incidents like what happened in Michigan, where the FBI actually set up an event to pretend to kidnap, to get these guys involved in this kidnapping case. And it's two of the four were actually exonerated. The other two were convicted, but the judge didn't allow information negative to the FBI on it, when the whole foundation of the defense was that the FBI entrapped them. So we're seeing a justice system that's allowing this to go forward. We've seen a national security system that is expanding its power and using it to target political activists. But most importantly, some people at the very top on the progressive agenda would like to see, in my view, would like to see some event happen where they can justify the confiscation of Second Amendment rights, and in particular, you know, AR-15 style weapons, or you know, basically automatic hunting rifles. One of the most popular weapons in America right now, and probably one of the only things that they're actually afraid of, and that's 100 million Americans that still have rights to guns.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting comment, Jim. So basically, you're saying one of the biggest one of the biggest instigators of violence in this country is actually the Federal Bureau of Investigation, correct?
Well, I'm not saying they're the biggest instigator, but the fact is they're law enforcement and they shouldn't be instigating anything. You know, that's there are plenty of people out there that have nefarious acts and ideas. But where they put their efforts, where the FBI and the Department of Justice puts their efforts, right now they're claiming, and they are and this administration is using this very, you know, unbelievably loud dog whistle to their activists to say, oh, white supremacists and nationalists and now just conservatives are a danger to democracy, as they themselves take away choice, take away democracy, take away, I mean, they forced people out of their jobs in both federal employment and attempted to do it in the civilian sector by mandating companies with 100 employees and more force vaccinations. They're taking away individual rights. They are spending tremendous amounts of taxpayer money to defend themselves and to pay off their constituents that keep them in power. So at this point, it's really about the government protecting itself, and they've lost touch, especially the DOJ and the FBI, of protecting the average American's rights. They'll blame them for anything. And you know what? The problem is you have 75 to 100 million Americans that really are kind of fed up with it. And yeah. I imagine there's even more.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But one thing I want to question is, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying, Jim. So you're saying the Department of Justice is actually not helping out the American public at all?
I say that in some very specific areas, there's a possibility. I will say that for most cases could be handled at a local and state level, the federal cases that they pursue. I think that they have become so politicized that they have lost. What I'm saying is the Department of Justice and the FBI have become so politicized that they're using the national security codes and structures right now to take away individual political rights, to silence individual speech. And there's been evidence just mounting about their influence over big tech companies and telling them to silence people and voices yeah. that contradict their agendas. There is evidence just mounting over their involvement, influence, or neglect on specific instances where very bad people have gotten away with very bad things and not been. And it turns out that the FBI was either involved or knew about the individuals prior to. Let's talk about the Parkland's shooting, where there was actually calls saying, hey, this kid's, you know, going to be a school shooter. How about the Pulse nightclub, where the FBI actually interviewed the shooter and let him go. And of course, what I talked about, the Boston Marathon bomber. There are many, many cases where the FBI fell down, but they are absolutely going after every individual that trespassed inside the Capitol on January 6th because they're frustrated, because those people are frustrated with what's happening in America right now.
Yeah.
And so they're going to blame the people that are frustrated with America because of this illegal overreach using law enforcement to intimidate their political opponents. They're going to use whatever tools that are necessary to silence them and to shut up their opposition. And pretty soon, they're going to be arresting people like the Gestapo did in Germany or the Stasi in East Germany after the Nazis, or the FSB or the KGB in Soviet Union.
Give me a time frame, will you, Jim?
I mean, it's happening now. It's happening now. And many people see it, but they don't really want to believe it. And there's just not enough coordinated efforts to push back. And the one place that is pushing back stronger than anywhere else is the Trump team. And possibly, Ron DeSantis in Florida, they're pushing back on some of these things, but it's happening right now in America. And we've seen it in the last couple of weeks. The president came out and called Republicans semi-fascists last week and 2 days ago reiterated it.
Hmm. And you're looking for him to do the same thing tonight in his speech.
His White House spokesperson, Corinne Jean-Pierre, has said that's what he's going to say and that he's standing by those words. And that is not conducive to either a, healthy society or acceptance of another political ideology. That is silence.
Yeah.
That is silencing your opposition. That is threatening, and it's creating a divisiveness. And again, I think the master plan by a handful of really like the Susan Rices and the Monaco's and the assistant attorney general and the people that are former Obamaites that are in this administration, I think they want to inspire some sort of an issue where they can clamp down harder and gain more control. They're losing in the polls so badly, they're doing whatever desperate act they can right now. And the unfortunate losers in all this are the actual people, the poorest people, the people that are less, least likely to be able to stand up against it.
Yeah. So you're saying that you think tonight's speech is going to be a call against other Americans?
That's what it looks like, and that's what they said they're going to do.
Hmm. Okay, well, I'll be watching that speech tonight, and I can't record it, but I will watch it. That's a pretty dramatic thing to say, Jim.
Well, he's already done it this week. He's done it on multiple occasions in the last 7 days. So as he does it, it's beginning to be quite a controversial point, but a lot of corporate, as we've talked about many times, the press that would question some of this stuff, a lot of these sycophant Democratic supporters that are now the talking heads in many of the media companies, they're not questioning it. They're actually facilitating it and supporting it. And so I expect to see a very, a very divisive, and he's going to kind of wrap it up to say, I want to be the unifier again. But he's not, he does that at the same time as he calls his opponents evil and taking away democracy. When in fact, they have an incredibly bad history of taking away democratic principles and individual choice.
Yeah. Well, to say the race is going to be interesting, this is kind of speculation at this point in time, but let's watch the speech tonight. You guys, please watch the speech. I'll be on the comments section. I'll be making some comments about whether or not I think that Biden actually threatened the American people. If he does, that's pretty scary. That's very scary, Jim.
Yeah, he already has. This week he has. He called Republicans, MAGA supporters, semi-fascists.
Mm-hmm.
How much worse can you get? Well, he's a full fascist. He's a Nazi. What? How much worse can you get? And that's actually Americans. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a Trump supporter not because I believe in Donald Trump, not because I follow Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is the guy that's standing up against exactly
right.
This type of event that's happening in America, and there are very few people that have the guts to do it.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to the speech tonight and see what happens. What else you want to talk about, Jim?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things that are out there right now. But one of the very important issues that I think is going to come back and bite again the Biden administration. I don't think this is going to go well for Joe Biden. All right. I'll just say that whatever happens in this speech.
Okay.
But there's also this underlying, and I mentioned it yesterday in the top in the radio, but there's this attempt to reestablish the JCPOA, the basically the Iran nuclear deal with the Iranians. Well, of course, with
that
Russian
been going on
senior
for years, though.
Pardon me?
That's been going on for years. I mean,
well,
ever since the Democrats took over the executive branch, that talk has been first and foremost. We're going to redo the agreement. I'm sorry?
So now they're on the precipice of actually reaching the deal.
Yeah.
And Israel is absolutely furious about it. They're quietly, right, you know, this kind of weird coalition government that collapsed not long ago, but that's trying to somehow stay in power. They're being careful about what they say. Netanyahu's being very strong in his statements against it, and quite a few other countries in the region, the Saudis, the other people that are fighting the Iranians on a regular daily basis, UAE, Oman, Qatar, the Sunni, they're very upset about this. And of course, the problem with the Biden administration by doing this, there is a lot of vulnerable Democrats that are actually they're supported by a lot of Jewish patrons that are going to be facing reality if they go ahead and sign this deal before the November election.
Right.
And that could be incredibly brutal on top of many other failures that this regime has had on economics, on the border, on police, on crime.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out. I'm going to be really interested in seeing how the elections number one, I'll be very interested in critiquing Joe Biden's speech tonight, and trust me, I will watch it. That would be 5 o'clock Pacific Coast time. I'm very interested in what he has to say there, and I can't believe he's going to be that stupid. But if he is, I'll be the first one to admit it. The Iranian,
well, like I say, Al, he already has this week numerous times.
Well, so let's see what he says.
Watch his speech in Philadelphia or in the small town in Pennsylvania day before yesterday. So it's just very telling where the direction this administration is going.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes, you can find it.
Okay, send me a link if you wouldn't mind. Okay, anything else, Jim?
No, I think, those are the big things.
Those are two bombshells right there.
One more thing is hilarious. It's absolutely disgusting. It's not hilarious. But the National Institute of Health and the CDC have now put on their website that a potential treatment for COVID is ivermectin.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well,
remember,
it's all coming to fruition, Jim. There's no question about that. I heard that yesterday, actually. Okay.
CNN, the people that called it was horse, you know, medicine and all this stuff, all the liars, all the people that have actually undermined and caused death because they failed to take action when Uttar Pradesh in India did a phenomenal job using ivermectin when there was factual evidence showing how much of a prophylactic it was for COVID.
Yeah.
How many people died because of that, and how many idiots are still walking around with masks on and pushing vaccinations that have actually failed and probably done more damage than good.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. There's no question about that.
And I got to add one more. New York Times article talking about the damage that was done because of the lockdowns to children and the fact that that may take a generation to overcome the math and language deficiencies that were pushed because of the vaccinations. The New York Times is now.
Can you send me the link to that article too?
Well, I'm not linked on New York Times, but I can get you directed to it.
You can't, or you can?
I can. I can at least get you to the article.
Okay, I appreciate it. Okay, Jim, thanks a lot, bud. See you later.
You bet.
We'll be back tomorrow, you guys.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back next week.